Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello.
Is that a bit loud?
This is the second time
we were just on take two, because the first time I was too quiet. And then that time, you looked like how I imagine somebody in the electric chair looks as the voltage is entering their body.
I'm not going to say I jumped out of my skin, because I'm still in my skin, but yes. As close as you can get, I just did.
Sorry about
that. That's all right.
Oh, speaking of, speaking of the electric chair, speaking of justice and the justice system, have you watched any of this jury service on Channel 4?
I'm so excited about it. It started yesterday on Monday.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. Is it good?
So depressing.
Oh, okay.
It's so, because what it is, I won't stay on this long because we've got other things to talk about, but it's a reenactment of a murder trial.
Mm.
So the lawyers, the defendant, they're all working on things that were said and all the evidence from an actual trial.
Mm-hmm.
They're recreating it exactly, only with changed names and locations to protect the identity of who the original trial was. And then they have two juries, neither of whom know that the other exists. So it's two rooms of 12 people. And they've been randomly selected like a real jury. And what the program is you're watching the process of how juries discuss a murder trial, because that's mystified. Unless you've been on one of those juries, nobody knows what happens.
Fascinating.
The judges aren't privy to it. The lawyers aren't privy to it.
These
are
really?
Conversations that happen behind closed doors. And at least based on this televised version, it has completely shaken my faith in the justice system.
Really?
Oh, yeah. People are awful.
Really?
Because I've always had this idea in my head that, you shouldn't underestimate people. People are clever and decent and good and thoughtful.
And know right from wrong.
And this murder trial that they're reenacting, it's a man who killed his wife with a hammer.
Mm.
And the amount, I mean, I'm only one episode in, so maybe these people redeem themselves. But the amount of discussion about what she must have done to deserve it, or like what how she must have pushed his buttons. And that's not what's on trial here. What's on trial is there is a particular state psychologically you can get into where you're not responsible for your own actions, where you lose control, and that can decide whether something is manslaughter or murder. So it seems to me the only question that they should be asking, and that the evidence should be either supporting or not, is whether he was in that state from a psychological point of view.
Right.
And they're just also, I get the red mist sometimes when my wife, I once threw a cup of coffee at my wife. I mean, it's all this.
It feels insane to think that there's no one there guiding them.
Yeah.
Like no kind of impartial, but hold on, you need to stay on the, like this, because they can all wind themselves up into like some kind of fury about, this is in, I've lost all faith in justice system just from hearing about it.
Well, this is what I've always thought, because I've seen, I think focus groups are idiotic, because like if you've got one loud, overbearing person, if I was in a focus group and I'm just thinking, oh, if I just get through an hour of this, I'll get my £30 worth of Marks and Spencer's vouchers and my slice of pizza. I just go along with what the loud person is saying.
Right, don't disagree. Yeah.
And I'm sure, like, drifters on juries might be an interesting topic, although maybe it'd take a dark turn. I don't know. But anyway, why did I even say that? Oh, because you looked like you were in the electric chair.
Yeah, yeah.
Your headphones were switched up too loud, turned up too loud. Anyway, hello.
Hello.
Here we are, back in the same room. This is our first time together since our 300th episode, which was the live episode in London. Thank you to everybody who came to that. I really had a good time.
It was wonderful. It was lovely to meet so many people, putting the names to faces, the faces to names, I mean.
which is weird as well. Like, did you ever imagine you'd say, wouldn't it was lovely to meet so many people?
Oh, I know, but they were lovely.
They were. They were so nice. I didn't have a bad conversation. I mean, I'm not saying that from their point of view. Mm. It wasn't a bad conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I'm saying, that everybody I talked to, I liked and found easy to talk to.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that coming, you know, they're thinking, oh, God, Jeff's so awkward.
Oh.
When can I stop talking to him? But, I really enjoyed it. To see somebody emailed in and said we were underselling ourselves by only charging £12.
I didn't see that one.
Or maybe somebody tweeted me.
Yeah, it must have been a tweet. Yeah.
I thought, is that sarcastic?
Yes. Undoubtedly. Although we gave them an hour and a half in the end.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. And then I felt really bad about that because of people's bladders. I'd promised them that it wouldn't go long, so they didn't need to worry about going to the lavatory. But anyway, so thank you to everyone who came. And Tom filmed it pro bono, didn't he?
Pro bono.
So is he going to edit it pro bono?
No, I think I'm editing it pro bono.
Look at you!
And hopefully we can do it next week. So for Patreon supporters, £5 a month and above are going to get that next week, I hope.
Okay, good. Now, I found you loitering outside my house tonight. So you were already here when I got home.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just sort of like hanging around under a lamppost like a teenager. You had the look of a vandal. Were you just like kicking the wall or something?
Did I have my hood up?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God. So
the reason I wasn't home when you got here is my wife is very closely monitoring my step count.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yesterday, she wouldn't let me back in the house until I'd done above 10,000.
You are joking. What, so you had to like go around the block?
Yeah, I was walking around the block last night.
This is insane.
I got off the bus, like a 25-minute walk away in Dalston or something. I thought, oh, that should get me up to about 10,000 with everything else I've done today, and it didn't. And I just had to keep walking around the block, and I'm pressing refresh, refresh, refresh.
Can I just go back to the moment? So when you come in the house, she says, no, you get out there. And then can I say, and then you just do that?
Well, she hasn't sent me away again.
Right.
But she's told me that I'm not allowed back in until I've done over 10,000. So tonight she's out working and she's going to check my number when she gets home.
And then what happens if you haven't done it?
I don't know. But I'm very afraid of her.
Tom would never do what I say.
I am very afraid of her.
So jealous.
So I'd gone for a walk, but it went badly for me.
Right.
And I'll tell you for why.
Yeah.
Because I was walking about 45 minutes before you were due to arrive, and then this guy started walking with me,
okay,
and started talking to me.
Right,
and his opening gambit was he asked me to touch his head to see how flat it was.
That is not a reassuring opening gambit.
No, he was bald.
Oh God!
And I didn't know what to say because I didn't want to offend him.
Mm.
So I touched his head.
You did it?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have done it.
Well, how would you have got out of it? Because this is what I don't understand.
I'd say, my hands are filthy. No, you don't want that.
I'll tell you now, I ended up stuck with this man for about 35 minutes.
You are joking.
No.
What, just walking?
Yes.
You couldn't change direction because he was...
Right. So I would try and change direction, say, all right, I'm off down here now. And then he'd say... Oh, I'm homeless. I don't mind which way I'm going. I'll just come with you.
Oh, he just wanted a nice chat and a walk.
Yes.
Okay.
So I touched his head.
Okay.
Because he wanted to show me how flat it was.
And was it flat?
I don't think it was noticeably flat. It was bald.
Okay.
But he told me that he'd been hit some years earlier, some decades earlier, in fact, with an iron bar on the head.
Oh, no.
And that had flattened it. He said he hasn't had more than 2 hours sleep a night ever since then.
You're joking.
He also got me to feel his muscles.
Wow.
I know, but...
quite intimidating.
But what am I supposed to do? I genuinely didn't, like, I didn't want to be doing this. I just wanted to be getting my steps in, and I wanted to get back in time for you.
Yeah.
But I didn't, if somebody's saying, oh, I've got nowhere to be, I'll just walk with you.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you get rid of them? So in the course of this interaction, I'd felt his head, I'd felt his muscles.
God.
He told me that, in fact, he says, oh, I want you to come down here with me. Into a churchyard.
No, you didn't go.
But what am I supposed to say?
Well, I know what I would say.
What would you say?
I do think it's worse and better for a woman, because it's worse because it's scarier, but it's better because you can say, I can say very easily, I'm sorry, I'm feeling really uncomfortable right now, so I'm going to have to ask you to leave me alone. But you can't say that. It's harder.
Yeah. And so we went into a churchyard, and he told me that he brought me in there because he wanted to tell me this on holy ground. That me and him were both archangels and that he was Gabriel.
Oh, I love him now. Did he really?
I love him now.
Yeah. This is brilliant. On holy ground.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so nice.
He also told me that if I ever see anyone with a twisted right foot, it means they're evil and made of dark matter.
No, really?
Yeah. Oh. You've gone off him again now, haven't you?
A little bit, yeah, because it seems a bit judgmental.
And then eventually he started saying some racist stuff.
Oh, God, I hate him.
And I hit on the bright idea of saying, oh, I've got to get on one of these bikes now, and hired one of those line bikes and cycled away from him.
Oh, what could he do then? Nothing.
Yeah.
Did he run alongside you?
No, he didn't. That's lucky. They've got electric motors.
Oh, right, too hard.
But it just made me think,
that's bad.
What is wrong with me that I can't shut that interaction down? If that had been my wife.
Yeah, oh, easy.
It would have been over in 10 seconds. But I ended up walking around with a man for 35 minutes because I couldn't think of how to shut down the interaction.
But now
even though he's asking me to like touch parts of his body and like go into a churchyard with him. And I'm so worried about him thinking that I'm rude and not knowing how to draw a boundary. That I end up spending all that time doing that.
There are so many obvious answers here. For example, I'm really sorry, I've got to make a phone call now. Or I've got to go home now. Or, like, there's so
but
many
But I did
answers.
Say I've got to go home now. He says I'll walk that way with you.
Oh, God.
I said I've got someone coming to my house in 15 minutes. He said, oh, well, we can go that way. Oh. He just kept it. I mean, really, the stuff I've told you is tip of the iceberg.
Really?
Yeah, tip of the iceberg. But part of me thought, I am better at making small talk with this guy than I am with most people that I have to make small talk. Like if you're in a meeting and it's a bit at the beginning of the meeting where you're just like having a chat, it was more comfortable to me to have somebody tell me that he was the Archangel Gabriel and get me to feel his flat head than it was to have to do that thing where somebody says, oh, so where do you live then? Oh, I live in Stoke Newington. Where do you live? Oh, I live in Brixton. Oh, Victoria Line. So straight into the West End. Yeah. I'm thinking of moving. I would rather have the guy I was walking with. That I'd rather have that conversation than that small talk conversation.
The one good thing is that next time your wife says you've got to go and do your steps, you can say, I can't. because of that man, the Archangel man. Yes.
Jimmy Somerville. That's what he shouted after me as I was cycling away. He said, my name's Jimmy Somerville, but I'm not the one from Bronski Beach.
Oh, okay.
Or the Cambionars.
Okay. Oh,
they did look a bit like him. It sounded a bit like, I mean, he was not singing.
No.
Just saying he had a Scottish accent.
Right. Okay.
What if the twist was it was Jimmy Somerville?
Is he still with us? I think it might be R.I.P.
No. Siri, I'm going to Google that now.
I've really lost track of who's dead and alive, so I could easily be wrong.
What do you think made the big difference to you?
I don't know.
No, is. You straight away, you know, you Google someone, it says is rather than was.
He's still with us. Yes, many apologies, yeah. Jimmy Somerville, for suggesting you R.I.P.
Yeah. I mean, just because he's an archangel. How tall do you think Jimmy Somerville is?
Oh, we always look quite small. Yeah. I'd say 5'5".
Oh, I don't know what that is in new money. But yeah, he's about 18 centimetres shorter than I am.
18 centimetres?
Hang on. 16 centimetres.
Hey, what's weird here is you don't, for height, you don't think in feet and inches anymore.
No.
Okay.
I thought they're always at 174 centimetres.
Okay. I think that's unusual.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
I hate imperial measurements so much.
Right.
I despise them.
Okay. I only know mine in imperial, sorry.
All right. Just now, I was thinking, okay, let's try and think of a way of just bringing this bit of the conversation to a close so that we can move on to the email. And I can't think of a tidy way of doing it.
No, no.
So moving on.
Stop abruptly.
The email, then.
I'm just going to take a sip of water, sorry.
That's all right.
Mm. I had quite a dry mouth.
It happens.
It does sometimes, doesn't it? Yeah.
The email, then.
Yes, the email. First one is from Howard. This is something which happened to me this week. It was an evening after work and I was driving to training with my sports club and running slightly late. I had been listening to the radio but then decided to switch over to my car's CD player. I got to the end of my favourite song on that CD and decided that I'd quite like to listen to it again. So I pressed the back button on my steering wheel. Or so I thought. I'd actually pressed the button activating the voice commands on the Bluetooth in my car, which automatically connects to my phone. I have never, ever used this functionality and have only ever used the Bluetooth in my car to receive incoming calls. A computerised female voice comes over the speaker. Please provide instruction. Oh, bugger off, I say in frustration as I try and work out how to cancel the voice command function. There's no one else in the car at the time, just me. I'm usually quite calm and collected, except when I'm by myself in my car. Please repeat instruction, the computerised female voice says. Go away, I respond. The Bluetooth responds with, OK, phoning Geordie G, certainly beginning with G, home. For context, Geordie is a really, really good bloke I worked with over 10 years ago, but hasn't connected with since. Once, when we were working together, I let slip that I'd be in his town over the weekend and he invited me to have Sunday lunch with his family. So that was why I had had his number in my phone memory. To be honest, I'd forgotten it was still logged there in the years since. I swear I have no idea how my car interpreted my words as an instruction to phone him, other than the first letter of his first and second name is the same as one of the words I'd said in frustration. The phone starts ringing. I panic. On the screen, there's no obvious way to hang up. It's dark, I'm still driving, and I can't spot an obvious button on the steering wheel to hang up either in the split second I have to check. My attention is obviously on the road ahead of me. The phone continues to ring. I drive around a bend and come to the realisation that I just don't know how to make this stop. The phone is still ringing. I start to wonder if I'm fortunate enough that they're out and or won't pick up. I'm very nearly at the end of my journey and if I'm lucky, I'll get to stop, turn the light on and figure out how to stop my phone ringing. I run out of luck. Geordie answers the phone, which in retrospect is better than someone else picking up. Hello, he asks. Hi, I reply. I'm sorry, my Bluetooth's doing something funny. This is the best explanation my brain can come up with in that moment. Oh, he replies. What on earth he must be thinking then, I had no idea. Sorry, it's just a miscall. My car Bluetooth's got a bit weird. I uselessly tried to explain. Oh, a wrong number, says Geordie. Yeah, it's Howard. We worked together about 10 years ago, if you remember. No answer. Anyway, sorry to disturb you. Have a good evening, I meekly say. Okay, goodbye then, he says, and then ends the call, which is good because at this point I still don't know how to hang up. I get to my destination, start the team training session, feeling very embarrassed and don't mention to anybody, even considering we have a social event afterwards. The next morning, I finally get around to working out how to download a podcast on my phone to play in the car so this never happens again. Silver lining there.
I'm feeling aggrieved that Geordie didn't remember Howard.
Yeah, always more friendly. I think he's freaked out by all. It's quite a weird thing to happen. And this is from Del Boy, who says, long-time listener from your Tea Time show.
Aww.
Do any of your other listeners have an issue crossing the road? I always feel bad interrupting the flow of traffic, so I will always try to cross the road before I get to a zebra crossing. It's just my natural instinct. I don't want to put anyone to any trouble or interfere with their day. Even at green man crossings, I won't press the button unless it's very, very obvious there's going to be a gap. There's not going to be a gap in the flow of the traffic. Usually someone else will press the button, and that's my get out of jail free card. I can cross the road and point at the button presser and blame them for interrupting the flow. This is how I've always been. I try to be considerate and courteous as I drive too, but there's one place where all that goes out of the window. When I'm on one of my London hikes and I'm walking past Harvey Nicks, the very posh store in Kensington, then I press the button with glee. Oh dear, I'm interrupting the flow of all those super rich people. Such a shame, he lied. Yes, yes, I know I'm going to hell, but maybe I'll get a red light on the way there.
Love it. Class war.
Yeah.
Via the, is it a Pelican crossing?
Oh, they've got weird names, aren't they? Pelican crossing, zebra crossing.
Zebra crossing, we know.
Penguin crossing.
Is that real?
Unicorn crossing.
Yeah, okay.
No,
okay.
No. Horse Panda crossing. Car. I forgot them all now.
Yeah. Send us yours, please. Are you all right there?
Yeah, my eyes hurt.
Do you want some Optrex?
No, I need to go to the opticians, I think. Yeah.
Okay. Now?
No.
Okay.
Yes, excuse me. I know it's 10 o'clock at night. I'll find an emergency one.
Trying to get the eye hospital.
I'm fine.
Are you all right?
I'm fine. They're just a bit tired.
So. I've known you a long time. I've never seen you do that.
I think I've had a deterioration in the last 10 minutes. Sorry.
Send us your email, please. It's hello@adriftpodcast.com. Annabelle?
I think maybe they're like, are they dirty, my glasses or something? I don't know. I might give them a quick clean.
Okay.
You talk.
It's just you had your hands over your face like one of the weeping angels from Doctor Who. It was like, how's that doing? Sometimes it's good to like breathe on your glasses and then give them a little rub.
Yeah. Okay.
Or if you go in that top drawer, there might be some wipes.
That's all right. I'll use my jumper. It's fine.
Sure?
Yeah, it's fine. I'm sure this is going to make a big difference. Mm. Okay, great.
So,
sorry, I
was going to ask you about your Substack before.
Oh, thank you. Yes. I haven't told you about last week's.
No.
Unfortunately, I can't remember. This week's, why I'm so nosy, my extreme nosiness, and all the reasons why it might be.
Mm.
Last week, I'd love to remember. Oh, I know what it's about.
Oh.
It was about, it's okay to be a pushover sometimes.
Oh.
Sometimes it's easier to be a pushover than to be assertive.
Path of least resistance.
Exactly.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes.
So please do look at that. Annabelleport.substack.com.
Yes.
That's too much of a long
Are
pause
you all
there.
Right?
I know. I don't. I think I'm all right. Yeah.
Can you smell toast?
I'm fine. Okay. Yeah. Look at my Substack. Just Google my name. You'll find it.
Touch.
Join me.
Touch your nose. Okay. I think you're all right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Everything all right?
Yep.
Just hiking your jeans up.
Yep, all good.
Pulling your body
good.
Warmer down.
Yeah, I'm all good now.
Doing a little, okay.
Jiggle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shall we have another way in which you're not a fully functioning adult?
Yes. Is this normal? I'm asking this like it's a question, but I know the answer. Self-doubt I feel creeps into every single crack of my life, but of this I am very sure. Is it normal to have a water cooler in your home because Tom says he's getting one?
No.
It's not normal, is it?
No. It's a weird object to have in your home.
Isn't it?
And it would make your house look bizarre. And
yes.
Unless you had some kind of huge American-style home and there's a utility room off your kitchen, which has got like, I don't know, like laundry things. And then for some reason, there's a water cooler. Yeah, it's weird. Even in a home office, it is deeply bizarre. And also, isn't the whole thing with a water cooler that like a strapping young man has to come and change the thing every now and again?
I'm suddenly interested. I hadn't thought about that. The only place I can see it in a home is if you live in a giant mansion.
Yeah.
But you've got a gym, a home gym.
Oh, a home gym. Yeah. Okay.
No, I think that's
because
fine.
Because I don't ever think about gyms, but yes.
But let me tell you, we do not live in a giant mansion.
No.
And we do not have a home gym.
No.
I'm wondering if, like, maybe because we both work from home a lot, he's envisaging water cooler moments. And I've got two reasons why this is a problem. One, the water cooler would be in the kitchen. There's no room for it in the kitchen, but there's also no room for it anywhere else. And I'm not having it in the bedroom. But our kitchen is so small, the only phrase uttered more than please don't buy a water cooler is excuse me, because you can't have two people in at the same time. It's too annoying. We had to take it in turns to go in the kitchen. So there's no way, like, that we can fit it in.
And water doesn't come out of your fridge out of the thing where the ice comes from.
No, no. Two, what do we talk about? I've worked in an office with a water cooler, and I don't remember ever standing there and talking, because what I'd do is I'd get my drink and then go back to my desk. Unless it's going to be one of those water coolers where the cups are paper cones so you can't put them down. It's a weird design, isn't it? Yeah. And actually, will our water cooler have cups? This is a new thought coming to me. Do you remember we had a water cooler at work? And when Clive Dickens was our boss, he got really obsessed by it, causing Legionnaire's disease because of the stationary water.
No.
Oh, we went through a real phase of that.
Standing what you see.
This standing is a, water.
I missed out on a lot of this stuff by absenting myself from the open plan office.
You missed all the good stuff. I'm also really worried that it's going to need to be plugged in. Do you plug in water coolers? I think some you do, some you don't. Because, like, knowing Tom, that will mean there'll just be like long cables trailing across the kitchen, because the only sockets are where the toaster and microwaves are on the countertop. It's a madness. Like, people just don't have water coolers at home.
Like, Tom's an eccentric character. Mm. And this is one of the this is one of, not maybe not the, but it's one of the strangest things that you've ever told me.
If he said to me, let's get one of those big, nice fridges with a water dispenser. Great.
Yeah.
Although I'm very much of the opinion that we already got a water dispenser and it's called the tap. I'm fine with the tap. It would be like having a hand dryer in the bathroom or one of those towels on a roll that you pull down, which are weirdly hard to pull down. Do they still exist? They're so hard to use because they're on a loop, aren't they? And I've never thought before today, how are they cleaned? Do they unwind them, put them in the wash, dry them, and then wind them back up again? Like, that seems like a lot of effort, doesn't it? No wonder you don't see them so much. Didn't you once look into getting a hand dryer in your bathroom? Am I right about this?
Oh, I might have said it for attention, but I don't think so.
I used to be quite ambivalent about hand dryers. I quite liked them when they got fancy with Dyson. You just sort of put your hand
in. Faxing your hands.
Yes, yes. But more often than not, I just like wipe my hands on my jeans, like get really wet that way.
It's a classic way to dry your hands.
Exactly, it's the best. But since having a child, I hate them because he's really scared of them. Uh-huh. Is your son scared of hand dryers?
He's got better, but he was, yeah.
It's called, I don't know how to say it, it's called manusicusiphobia. Manusicusiphobia.
Oh, yeah, you don't know how to say that.
Yeah. It's more common fear for a child than monsters, ghosts, the dark and sharks. It's really common. Hmm. I don't understand why they've got to be so noisy. And I feel the same way about vacuum cleaners.
Yes.
I once saw a tweet by the comedian Glenn Moore, which was, you should be able to plug your headphones into the Hoover so you don't wake anyone up. Oh, you don't like it so much either. Only got 630 likes, which I thought was a travesty.
I thought that
was an amazing idea.
Yeah, it's good.
It's brilliant.
Like, I like Glenn Moore's tweets. I think some of them are very funny.
That's not one of your favourites.
No, but maybe it's the delivery.
But you could plug your
headphones. Yeah, no, I get it.
I'll stop going about it. But like, why is James Dyson faffing about with hair dryers and hair curlers when he could be doing this? Doing hand dryers and hair dryers and...
making them quieter, not more powerful.
Then maybe I'd get a hand dryer in the bathroom. Anyway, we're not getting one of those yet. But he is determined to get a water cooler. And he did tell me the other day that he's just bought an ice bath. But that's going in the back garden, so I don't care. I'm slightly worried about where he's going to keep all the ice for it, but I'm just trying not to think about it.
Bath?
Oh, God, Google it. It's
insane.
Is it like
he's bought a tin bath?
Yeah, it's insane. It's insane.
Oh,
I know.
He's having a breakdown, isn't he?
Yeah. In the best possible way.
I'm not so sure about that.
Oh, could be worse. Could be worse.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying it's the worst possible way. It's not like bludgeoning you to death or anything. But it doesn't sound great.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Talked about whether it is or isn't disrespectful to a dog to wear headphones while you're walking it.
Yes, we have.
And what did we decide?
We have completely opposing views. You believe it's disrespectful because you feel like you should be giving the dog your full attention on the walk. I'm extremely of the opinion that I'm putting those headphones in. I'm bored otherwise.
But you and the dog aren't having a shared experience anymore.
What is it? We are having a shared experience.
No, you're not. You're having two separate experiences. You're listening to a podcast or an album and the dog's like, I suppose.
I'm not sniffing like other dogs but you wee could, but, yeah. And cocking my leg.
No,
like,
okay.
So we're not having a, you're not having a shared experience either.
Okay. I'm not going to get stuck on that. I've forgotten whether I was thinking about it again today.
Oh, are you? Okay.
Like always thinking about, like, I suppose it's because I'm thinking about these 10,000 steps. Thinking, this would be less boring if I had a dog. I was listening to a podcast.
I challenge you to walk a dog for an hour today and never put headphones on.
I did used to walk a dog for
an hour and never put headphones on.
No,
honestly.
No, yeah.
Well, what would you do? Just think.
Just be in the moment with the dog.
Oh.
I've got a friend who has recently got a dog in middle age and she's having a lot of conversations with the dog while she's out in the world.
Okay.
Maybe I'd go that route.
Good. Okay,
yeah.
Good.
What else? Oh, I was on the pavement yesterday and I became aware of like having to get out of the way and straight away instinctively went, oh, sorry. And then realised I was apologising to a Deliveroo bicycle rider who was on the pavement.
Oh.
So what should I do? Yeah. Like, I wanted to shout after him, I retract! I retract the apology!
It was just an instinct and I wish I could crush it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Also yesterday I was on the bus. And one of those delivery guys got on with those huge freezer bags that they carry with them, usually on their back on a bicycle.
That's so weird, but with the bike as well. Because I was at the tube
station. Oh, no bike.
Someone got on the tube with a bike and one of those things.
Ah.
But that was a tube, so slightly bigger.
So somebody came and sat next to me on the bus with one of those things.
Yeah.
And because of the size of that thing, it encroached. It was across me as well.
Oh, that's a bit much.
Yes!
Yeah, a bit much.
Didn't say anything.
Of course not.
But I just wanted to check who was in the right, who was in the wrong.
You were in the right.
And I was in the right in my head, which is where it matters. What else? So you sent me some clippings.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was about a rare copy of Chairman Mao's Little Red Book is expected to fetch more than £30,000 in an auction. Which to me, that just seems like a lot of money because a lot of the phone numbers in that book will be out of date by now or the people will be very, very old. And, you know, I like an older lady, but, you know, they might be dead extremely old.
Yeah.
So why would you pay that much money for his little red book?
Yeah, that seems a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, that was that. A tip. I think it was just one particular tip or tips in Norfolk, right?
Mm-hmm.
I got to be closing on Wednesdays and people are up in arms about it.
They need it open 5 days a week.
Mm. Do you know when I go to the tip?
Mm.
Never.
Never?
Because you can't really go on foot, can you?
You don't have a car. That's so true. You really, 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 really can't go on foot. No.
Maybe I could get in touch with my friend Jimmy Somerville. See if he'd like to go on foot to the tip.
The two of you.
With a shopping trolley and some cans.
This is where it starts and ends.
The other thing I was going to mention is I've started taking my son to a music lesson on a Tuesday night.
Oh, what instrument?
He's learning the bass.
Is he?
The bass guitar. And so we cycle there. And the music teacher seems wonderful, like really wonderful. And it's at a basement flat. And you can see into the flat all the musical instruments. And there is, I think, a brother and a sister having a joint lesson before Jean's lesson. Like they're playing guitar and like doing something with a microphone. I'm not sure what. I've also noticed that the dad picking those kids up like tends to run 2 to 3 minutes late.
Hmm.
which means Jean's lesson is starting 2 to 3 minutes late.
Mm.
So what do I do? Do I go and pick him up at 1:45?
Oh.
No, I don't. I make a note after I've dropped him off of exactly the number, because I want him to get exactly 30 minutes.
You paid for that.
Yeah. But what is my problem, really?
No, I totally get that.
It's so weird.
Yeah, yeah. Those 2 minutes. I paid for those 2 minutes.
Yeah, I think one of the weeks it was like 40 seconds or something.
No.
Oh, I'm coming back at 45 and 40 seconds. I'm getting my money's worth. It's so pathetic. Quandary Corner.
Oh, yes.
At the Glap Clinic.
Let's put my glasses on and see how this goes.
Yeah. Are they clean?
I feel better. I think they were just really dirty. That's shameful, isn't it?
So.
Right. From RC. I need help. I logged in to start work this morning to find a terrifying email asking if I would participate in a 1 minute with feature in my employer's weekly blog. As a drifter, I obviously have zero desire to do so, but how do I say no? Or if I do have to do it, how on earth am I meant to answer questions like the following? One, what is your favourite thing about working at company name? Honest answer, they allow me to work from home so I don't have to see or speak to anyone. Number two, what do you do in your spare time? Listen to a podcast about being awkward and antisocial on repeat. Having said this, I do also play tennis and do a bit of volunteering, so probably could just answer this as a normal person. Three, what did you want to be when you were growing up? Left, or should I say let alone? Four, what is the best life lesson you have ever learned and from whom? Just pretend it never happened. Annabelle Port from Adrift. Thank you. Five, and finally, tell us something unusual or interesting about yourself. I once wrote into a podcast problem page about what to do when I was left a voicemail that was not meant for me, and the agony aunt and uncle ended up convincing me that the caller was probably thinking about me in a bad way, Annabelle, and they and the person that they had actually meant to call were likely forming an alliance against me, Jeff. I'm assuming you'll have both forgotten this, as it was way back in episode 191. Please advise me on how I can deal with this. Ideally, a polite and professional way to say absolutely no chance. Or failing that, please suggest some interesting answers I could provide. I'm obviously employing the port protocol, PP for now, and haven't yet replied. Thank you. Best wishes, RC.
So I think if you answered pretty much like you just answered in that email, everybody would think you were being so funny.
Or they won't use it and they'll never ask you
again.
Well,
there's that. But if you put, they say, oh, what a funny sense of humour. Like, imagine, they think you were joking.
Oh.
Do you see what I mean? So what was the first one?
The first one was, what is your favourite thing about working at the company?
Yeah, so working from home and not having to interact with people. So that's a serious answer, but people would be like, you're so funny.
And what did you want to be when you were growing up, left alone?
You're so funny.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if this is the kind of company where you can get away with that, or whether it's a very corporate, serious, dry place. I don't know.
Okay, so what was the first one again?
First one was, what is your favourite thing about working at this company?
I feel inspired by an organisation whose goals are so aligned with my own.
Okay. What do you do in your spare time? She's got that covered, I think, he or she.
No. What was she doing in your spare time?
Okay, go on.
Play tennis and think about strategy of the organisation that I work for.
Okay.
And how to implement it.
What did you want to be when you were growing up?
This. Whatever, yeah.
What is the best life lesson you've ever learned and from whom?
Whoever my boss is. It's like some stuff about your boss.
Right.
Being the person that you've always wanted to be.
And finally, tell us something unusual or interesting about yourself.
I want to kill the man. I don't know.
Perfect. There you go. So you've got that as an option. Yeah. Or I wonder if you can, what's that expression you always use? Kick it into the
long grass.
Kick it into the long grass.
Kick it into the long grass.
Keep kicking it into the long grass until they give up.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
They're your options. Right, let's move on to Jane. Now, the setup of this involves telling you a lot about my routine, so please bear with me for the logistical details.
What did you want to be? Sorry, I'm back on the old
one. Oh, okay, go.
What did you want to be? A questionnaire answerer.
Oh, yeah, good. Yeah.
What do you like about the company, your job?
The 1 minute with.
The one minute with feature. Yeah.
You could go that route.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Jane, I've recently changed my job from one where I was out of the house all day for 4 days of the week to one where I now only have to be in an office 2 days a week and work from home the other three. My working day begins at 8:45 a.m. We also have a wonderful cleaner who comes fortnightly to clean our house, usually on a Tuesday. She likes to arrive around 7:45 and she stays for 3 hours. Now, this is fine. Tuesday is one of my office days, so I will be out of the house. Therefore, no interaction needed. Sometimes, though, she does need to change her days for various reasons and ends up coming on whatever day works for her. In my old job, this would be totally fine because most of the time, both my husband and I were at work and so we rarely cross paths. This week, she's here on a Monday, right now in fact, and I had thought that in my hour before work, I would sit and do some crochet, my hobby, before opening my laptop at 8:45. However, she arrived and I just couldn't do it. So instead, I've set up my workstation an hour earlier than needed, and I'm sitting here sending you this email, partly just to look busy to my cleaner. I feel like I can't sit on the sofa crocheting while she cleans my house. How terrible does that make me? But equally, this is my time before work, and I shouldn't have to be opening the laptop before I need to. I considered going for a walk before she arrived, but that means I would get back when she was mid-cleaning and probably scare her, like I did one time when I had to nip back because I'd forgotten something and she jumped out of her skin. So here's the quandary. What do I do when my cleaner and I are both in the house at the same time, but I haven't yet started work? Can I sit on the sofa crocheting? Or do I need to give up having a cleaner and do it myself? Or should I spend the time compiling a list of all the awkward interactions I've had in my life, the list that runs through my head nightly before going to sleep, and spend the time wisely emailing you?
This is hard for me because I think I'm a bit through the looking glass in terms of behaviour.
Right.
So I think our cleaner, Karina, mm-hmm. the cleaner, thinks that I live a life very similar to Charlie Bucket's grandpa.
Because you're always in bed.
Yeah.
And let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
When you're in bed, you're working, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got your laptop out.
Yeah.
Does she come in to clean the bedroom while you're in bed?
No.
So your bedroom doesn't get clean then?
No, no. So I'll switch to the loft at some stage.
And do you
I'll shout, "Bedroom's free, Karina."
Yeah. So you know when to judge it. You hear her doing like the bathroom. You're like, oh, she's coming.
Yeah. So I really need to know about the layout of your house. But also, I think I live such a horizontal life. It's like I'm doing a bed in for peace.
Right. Yeah.
I think like certainly whatever it is that I'm doing wouldn't look recognisable as work to her.
Okay.
And it's only because there's a room in the house with like microphones and equipment in it.
Right.
That she I think she's got like some sense that I'm doing something.
That you do have a job.
Yeah. But
so what I'm picturing here is if she's not coming in the bedroom, she's not seeing what you're doing, you could quite easily be crocheting.
Yes.
She's not coming. So could Jane go into a room? Is this a possibility that you could do whatever you want in a room and then put it away when she comes in this one?
Yeah,
rooms?
Like Sarah will sometimes say, oh, can you do the loft first because we're doing such and such? So have a thing with her. Say, oh, would you mind doing such and such a room first and then I'll get out of your way and go in there.
Because it's only for the first hour, isn't it? Because she starts work at 8:45. Yeah. Also, another thing I was thinking of, like, there's always admin things you need to do on your computer, like looking for a birthday present for someone or booking something or researching something. Could you save that up for that hour so that you're doing things you need to do?
I know, but what about the crocheting?
Oh, I know, because she enjoys it.
Yeah. Can you crochet in the bath?
Oh,
probably not.
Because then that would be, crochet on the toilet. She's not going to lock the door.
No.
Okay.
Like some people don't see the toilet as a little sanctuary like I do. But,
okay.
But
build yourself, like get yourself a wigwam.
Right.
Is that the right word? Like, you know,
I don't know. Okay. Do we still say wigwam?
You know those tents that kids have?
I can't think of any reason we shouldn't, but it has got the air of one of those words.
As soon as I said it, I was like, oh, God, I've said something wrong. You can't say that anymore.
Yeah. I mean, you probably can, but just to be on the safe side, because sometimes people listen to these podcasts like a year or two later.
Oh, God.
And almost certainly, even if you can still say that word, in 2 years, something will have surfaced and we can't say it anymore.
Can you say teepee? I probably can't say that
None
either.
None of it feels great. None of it feels great.
I'm pretty sure I haven't heard anyone say the WW word for about a decade, so I regret saying that.
Let me just Google it.
Okay.
I don't know if I want it in my searches.
Oh, no, I feel really nervous now. I think teepees are right. I'm sure I've seen teepee when I was thinking about buying one for my son.
Let's have a look. Oh, so the first thing that comes up is a Reddit thread. Is a teepee in the nursery bad taste, stroke culturally insensitive?
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. I never even thought of that. Really?
Yeah.
But it's just a tent for kids that's like a good shape.
Okay. I typed these words into Google. Wigwam and problematic.
Yeah.
And there's nothing on the first page of search results.
Okay. Well, if it was something, it'd be on the first page.
Yeah.
But just in case, I'm retracting that and I apologise.
Yeah.
And I want to say instead, conical tent.
There's a YouTube video that says, I'll never stay in these wigwams again.
Okay.
What do they call them? Like when you go on glamping websites, what are they calling them? Yurts.
I think that's only outside. Do you have a yurt inside?
I don't know.
Is yurt okay still? Anyway, get yourself one of those tents like what a kid would have.
No, which ones do you mean?
You know, like posh kids often have them.
No,
like,
I don't know what you mean. Is there any like name that they were called historically?
Like a kid's tent.
Like what though? Like who would be in these tents like before they were kids' tents?
I'm not saying anything more. Stop it now. Get yourself one of those and then hide in it, doing a crochet in it.
Yeah.
And then when she goes, she can come out again. And she can even clean in the room you're in. She'll just never know what you're doing in there. She'll just hear some like clicking and clacking and think, what on earth is she doing in there?
Great.
Brilliant. Apologies again for saying that word.
And that was our podcast. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to send us an email, we'd like that as well. We'd really get a kick out of it, wouldn't we?
Absolutely.
The email address is hello@adriftpodcast.com. You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/adrift. Thanks to Man and the Echo for the backing music and to Emily Harrison for the incidental music. Carla Gowlett took our photos. Kim Rainey designed our artwork. And just touch my head. I just want to see how flat it is. Oh, it's this podication. You told me this was coming a while ago, didn't you? Shall I just dive straight into it?
Do.
Okay. This comes from Yvette Tompkins. I don't feel like I meet enough Yvettes.
No, and I wish I'd meet more.
Yeah, like an Ivana, like an Yvette.
Yeah, it's great. I love it.
Hi, Jeff and Annabelle. I would like to request a podication for my best friend and partner of 22 years, Andrew Chandler. Oh, it's the same person.
Hmm? Oh, right.
We met at a time when my life was at an all-time low, but Andy showed me support, kindness, loyalty, and friendship, and over time, he melted my heart. We've been helping each other through life's ups and downs ever since, clinging to each other for dear life. He held on to me like I was a crucifix, as Leonard Cohen once sang. Andy found you both in 2006.
Oh, that's going back a bit. What were we doing then?
That's the year we started the Jeff Show.
Was that
good,
right?
Good year to find us.
Oh, wow.
So we've listened to you ever since you started working together.
Oh, wow.
Unknowingly, you have travelled with us everywhere, making journeys full of laughter and a sense of enjoying being part of the Adrift Club. That before you, we didn't even know existed.
Mm.
Isn't that nice?
That's lovely.
That feeling that, oh, there's other people like this out there. You've both been so much of our lives together, it feels strange to think you don't even know us. It does, and it's a lovely thing. In 2018, Andy presented me with a ring. And knowing my aversion to thoughts of marriage, said it was an endurement ring.
Love that.
For all the years I had endured our relationship. So drifterish. Brilliant. Mm. He then read me a poem that I can't read even to this day without crying. Aww. I really want to see that poem, but if it's a piece of poetry, send it in. If it's of Andy's own composition, then that would feel like a betrayal, I think.
I think it probably is. Oh, yeah. Okay.
But that's what a thing to have. Mm. I really want to read it, though.
It's so nosy.
I know. You've just written a Substack about being nosy.
I'm terrible.
It is because of this that I have a huge favour to ask of you. As you know, it's a leap year, and traditionally, women can ask their partner to marry them. We're both working on the 29th and won't see each other, so I thought it would be such an incredibly meaningful thing if you could possibly please do it for me in this podication. If your answer is yes, then I will only be looking for one more yes from Andy, hopefully. So, Andy, you mean the absolute world to Yvette. You have enriched her life, and she can't ever imagine being without you. So, please, will you marry her?
I feel like we should have fireworks here or something, although he hasn't said yes yet.
No.
This is a first, isn't it?
I think it is.
It's a first. I'm sure it's a first.
In all these years, I don't think I've ever done a proposal on the radio or on the podcast.
It's amazing.
This is incredible. And also, what's great is it's not like a public proposal, you know, like on the big screen at a sports event or with a flash mob in the street, because there's no pressure on Andy.
I mean, I think it's a yes, don't you?
Oh, it would seem that way.
I think so.
Let us know.
Yes.
Send me a copy of that poem. This is so exciting. Mm. What a moment for us to all enjoy. Mm. Here in a leap year. Love a leap year.
Do you?
Yeah, I don't even know why.
I don't, because I have to wait an extra day for my birthday.
Oh.
Because I'm 12th of March.
Well, we all do.
Well, I suppose so, but it feels more like, oh, so soon enough. I don't know, I'm so excited about my birthday, like I'm 12 all of a sudden, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a bit narcissistic making Yvette's proposal to Andy all about your birthday being delayed by a day.
You started talking about leap years.
I think Yvette was the one who brought up the leap year.
Yeah.
Well, let us know. What a thing. You know, even if you said no, we still got to do a proposal, which we never had before.
It feels weird now.
Our time of life, getting to do something new.
I know.
Who'd have thought? Well, there we go. The latest edition of the podcast, podicated to Andy from Yvette. Let us know how it goes, guys. I want to be buying my hat for the wedding.
Do you feel like Cilla Black?
That's what I was thinking of when I said it. And then I thought, oh no, I can't go to a wedding now.
No, of course not.
You know, for reasons previously discussed over the last 20-some years.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, let us know how it goes. And if you'd like a podication, then email us hello@adriftpodcast.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.